Let's take a look at the week ahead in the canyons of Wall Street, because there will be some important data coming out this week. We'll get the Purchasing Managers Index, Manufacturing Index, on Monday morning. Estimate at 53. The important thing is here, you want to see those readings above the 50 level. That's the expansionary level. We've been in good shape on that one for a long time. So the ISM Manufacturing Index, also Monday morning. Again, the 50 threshold is the key. This has been a very strong index. We're looking for an estimated 58 on this index. On Tuesday, we will get motor vehicle sales, estimated 16.7 million annual rate. Last month, a little soft to 16.1 million. Wednesday, we get the automatic data processing, the ADP employment report, estimating 150,000 new jobs, down from 237,000 last month. The hurricanes are playing a role, of course, in these numbers. We'll get the Purchasing Managers Index Services Index on Wednesday morning, estimate 55.1. Again, keep that 50 threshold in mind. And the ISM Non-Manufacturing Index, estimated 55.4. On Thursday, we get jobless claims. They're elevated because of the hurricanes, and we are going to have to wait for the hurricane season to be well out before we'll be able to get normalcy in those numbers. Friday morning, we get the employment situation from the Labor Department, estimated new jobs 95,000, down from 156,000. Distortions here caused primarily by Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Harvey. Now, with reference to Hurricane Maria that ravaged Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, those numbers are not in the USA numbers. As a territory, those numbers don't go into the USA numbers. So we have all of that to look forward in this coming week. Dave in Las Vegas, Nevada, the city that never sleeps. Dave, welcome. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Bob. I'm retired at the age of 68 and married, and I have my wife and I have a combined total of $2 million in our traditional IRAs. And all of this is in Vanguard's Total Stock Market Index Fund. It's been a good fund to be in, so we're hanging in there. But I have a concern about what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. Can you hear me okay?
Are you saying that all of your financial assets are represented by the $2 million holding in that fund?
No, sir. I'm saying that's just the IRAs.
Just in the IRA accounts. Do you have other financial assets?
Yeah, that's what I'm about to explain. We have another $2 million spread across some CDs and Vanguard High Yield and Ginnie Mae's. And so we have a 50-50 portfolio, but my asset locations are not correct, as you've already figured out.
Well, let me ask you about what percentage or what amount of that $2 million you discussed in income producing that's in the high yield fund. How much of that?
That's only about $110,000. It's the smallest amount.
Yeah. Okay. We're not going to
be
losing sleep over that.
Did you say in the high yield?
Yes, I said the high yield.
I said the high yield. In the high yield, it's about $550,000.
Okay, so that's an area of your investment that's wonderful. Because if you take it as a percentage of your $4 million. It's not a gigantic percentage. It's about 13-14%. But the thing about it is, it's a wonderful investment during times of economic expansion, as you've seen. But just keep in mind that if you get a recession, that fund is vulnerable.
Yeah, I've got a close eye on that.
Okay.
And so here's my situation. We have a 50-50 portfolio, but my asset locations are not correct. I'm aware of that, have been for a long time.
I guess I don't quite follow what you mean.
Well, I mean, I've been told that it's better to have tax-wise, it's better to have the post-tax money in stock mutual funds and the IRAs in fixed income investments.
Well, the reason that you've heard people say that is because the income that you earn for example, the income you're earning on that high-yield fund and the other income that you're earning, the idea is to put those assets in your tax-privileged accounts so you don't have to pay current taxes on the interest, because that's all interest income. And the idea is that you put your stock market investments in your personal account because your stock market investments are privileged in terms of capital gains tax liability. Now, you don't have any of that in Nevada, but you do have capital gains liability in terms of your federal return. So that's the point. You put your stock, where possible, you put your stock market investments in your personal account, and you put your income-producing investments, especially interest, in your tax-privileged account so you don't have to pay tax on it every year.
Right. I understand all that now. I wish I had earlier. But here's where I am. You recommended dollar cost averaging in market in your market timer due to a record high stock market at this time. So well, can you give me some ideas about if I were to flip-flop this money, take the IRAs and move them into a fixed investment, fixed income investments, and take the post-tax money and move it into the total stock market index fund, if I were to make that flip-flop, could you give me some idea of what I might do in terms of, you know, pacing it correctly? So am I supposed to just do it all in one day, flip-flop all that, or because I could, but or am I, should I be, like you said, dollar-cost averaging into, and dollar-cost averaging that post-retirement money into the stock fund?
Well, it seems to me that if you liquidate your $2 million holding in the stock market, that you could be vulnerable to a lot of capital gains taxes. I mean, the market has more than tripled in the last 8.5 years.
But
you could be hit.
But the money that's in the stock market itself now, the total stock market index fund, is all IRA money. And I would just be moving it into bonds.
So you would have no capital gains liability at all there?
None. And I have about 800.
Go ahead.
Out of that 2 million of post tax money that I was telling you about, 850,000 of that's in CDs that are just about ready to expire. So it would be a good time for me to make this flip flop to correct my asset location problem.
Well, let me explain. First of all, when we talk about dollar cost averaging, we are talking about new money that has not been invested. So, in other words, if you were to call in and say, Bob, I just got $1 million and I want to put it in the stock market, then if you put it in a dollar-cost averaging program, you would put it in over a period of time in relatively small amounts compared to the totality of $1 million. And you that way you would be spreading your risk of investing the money. That's not what you're asking. You're saying you have $2 million in the total stock market index in your IRA account, and you would like to move that over into your personal money. That's a sideways move. That has nothing to do with the market.
Yeah, I would move it over into bonds or CD investments.
No, you're back talking to the IRA again. I'm talking about the switch you want to make. And if you have $2 million in the stock market in your IRA, but you'd rather have the $2 million in the stock market in your personal account, then you could do that all in one day.
That's what I was wondering.
Well, there's no tax liability. There's no tax liability attached to that, and it has nothing to do with the market. This is a technicality that you're trying to do for tax reasons. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the market. You're just trying to improve your tax situation. There's nothing in your question that relates to the market. It only relates to taxes.
You're right. But how about this? When you talk about the stock market being at an all-time high, if I do move that personal money, if I do move that money into the stock market now, all in one lump, I'm buying at the highest it's ever been sold.
Well, I think you just sold it. Well, wait a minute. Time out. I think that you just sold it at the highest it's ever been sold. If you sell it out of your you sell it out of your IRA to yourself, I mean, basically you're selling it to yourself. You're just changing account structure. So if you sell it at the highest it's ever been and you buy it at the highest it's ever been, you're and if you're asking a question about whether you should do that, for market reasons, then you're not asking a tax question anymore. Then you're asking a question, do I really want to have $2 million in the stock market, which is a personal question, which is totally separate, has nothing to do with taxes.
Yeah, I got you. I understand exactly what you're saying, and I think you cleared it up for me.
Thank you, Dave. Irene is on the line in Kern County, California. Hello, Irene.
Hi. My husband and I are fairly comfortable. We're 70 and 75. And, you know, after helping kids with down payments on homes and mortgages and different things, we have $1.2 million left in retirement. And we have savings of about $100,000. And we have a paid-off home, about $400,000. And I thought we were just fine, except we do have Social Security, both of us. And I thought that was fine, except we're not getting any income. We've always lived very, very conservatively and always relied on interest. Well, there hasn't been any interest. Savings bonds and things like that for a long time. We're earning maybe 1.5 to 2% interest on the $1.2 million. And where do you go? I mean,
the answer to the question is, Irene, in order to earn more interest, you would have to take more risk. And if you're already earning close to 2% on your portfolio, you may not want to take that additional risk. I'll give you an example. In the investment letter, we publish an income-only portfolio on page 7, and the yield, the current yield on that portfolio is 2.9%. That's the interest yield, and the average duration is 1.5 years, which is a very short duration for a bond portfolio. But that's more risk than you're taking in a CD, because when you have a fully insured FDIC CD, you're going to get your money back at maturity regardless. So you're really not taking any risk in a CD. To get higher rates of return, you have to take risk, which you very well may not want to take. Appreciate it, Irene. Good luck to you. This is Money Talk.